Good evening. Desire y'all's prayers. I feel inadequate. You know, when you make contact with the Lord, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes it's just overwhelming. And the message that I have for this evening is one that, to me, as I've studied on it, it feels like just the love of God come crashing into my soul. And it's been a challenge for me to be able to sit there and say, okay, Lord, I want to truly understand how you want this message to go out. If I had to say a verse that is the start of this message, and I'm going to rephrase it, I keep your commandments because I love you. And now when I think about commandments, as some of you all know, when I was younger, I served in the military. And there's a difference between rules and commandments. There's rules for all kinds of things in the military. How your hair is supposed to be, how you get dressed, what time you get up, how you make your bed. Everything has rules to it. But those rules don't actually get you anywhere. They're guidelines as you go throughout your day. But eventually in your day, you're going to get a command. And that command is now going to set the tone of your day. And as I think about, you know, some of those things, thinking back to some of my working roles, I was working in an office with several, there were six of us in the office, all men, had one bathroom. And somebody plugged up the bathroom. And it became obvious, we were part of a larger company, but we were the only people in this small office. And so one of the fellows called headquarters and was like, hey, we've got a plugged up toilet. We need help. All right, there's a plunger in the bathroom. Well, we're a bunch of computer workers. And the folks in the office started debating, okay, who's going to be the brave man to go in and do battle? Well, that's not my job description. But you know one thing that was in everybody's job description in that office, as we were reminded? All other duties as assigned. And so we eventually got that situation resolved. But as I've pondered on things in life, you know, think about if you had to manage men and women, which men and women would you rather manage? Someone that if you said, hey, look, there's a pile of dirty dishes in the break room, and it's getting out of control. Does somebody mind washing those for us? To clean the break room back up? There's no rule that says you have to. But if an employee were to say, okay, I'll do that, I know as a person that's ended up in leadership roles, that's a person I appreciate. That's a person that I look to, and you know what? If there's other dirty jobs that come down the way, I may not give them to that person. I may intentionally say, I liked your attitude. I know you'll do it if I ask you, but I want to send that one to this person. I want to try them out, see if they're going to do what I say. And I want to read a passage here in Matthew chapter 7, starting to verse 21. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. As I pondered on this, and Jesus, even in one of his other parables, you know, this is Jesus' words. He's saying, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will make it into heaven. And even if they're able to tell me We've prophesied in your name. We've cast out devils. We've done wonderful works. And in his other parable, this statements from these people are happening at judgment. At judgment. They are confident enough in what they felt they were doing that they felt at the judgment seat, I can defend myself. And yet, I never knew you. When we look back through the scriptures, and as studying, I've been looking at this, there's rules. Was there a rule that said Moses had to lead the children of Israel? Was that a rule? That was a command. Moses was given a command. I want you, Moses, to do this. When we think about Noah building the ark, there wasn't a committee that the Lord said, okay, we're going to pull 5 or 10 people in. And no, it was Noah. I'm giving you a command. Nowhere in the laws, if you will, was there a, you have to build a boat. But there's a command. When we think of Abraham followed what set of rules? If we stop to think about it, I don't think he had a set of rules the way we do today in the Bible. What Abraham had was a God that he communicated with and a God that he talked to. And when that God gave him commandments, Abraham said, I love you. And I'm going to do your commandments. And when you look back through, you know, Moses, he eventually had the old law was given to Moses. And he brought it down from the mountain. Those laws are good. You know, we have laws for driving out on the road. Do those laws tell you how to drive from here to Dallas? They won't get you anywhere. You can follow the rules and go your own way and feel totally, perfectly capable and functional, and you're not where you're supposed to be. In fact, there's a term for that because I've done it before. I was driving, coming to visit family and had been living out in Georgia at the time. And coming up through Jonesboro, Arkansas, up through Springfield, headed that way. Going along is like, you know, I should... That next town, I should have already been through. And I got to looking, I'd been driving for 2 hours and hadn't hit the town I was supposed to have hit in about 20 minutes. I'd come into a town, taking a wrong turn. I was headed north instead of west across Missouri. You know what that's called? Lost. I was lost. And that was back before GPS was really a thing. And guess what I had to do? Pull over. Pull out the road map. Start looking up. Okay, where am I? Where does it look like I'm at? How did I get off track? I was able to map. Okay. Well, this trip just got longer because now I got to go 2 hours back the other way to get back on track, to get to where I need to go. You know, that's where I feel like the Lord is wanting to challenge us, and I know some people don't like that word, but he's wanting to challenge us. Do we know him? Are we listening to him? Listen to, you know, if you go through the story and you start the Bible and start reading the stories of faith and different things, you'll start realizing that Naaman, the man who was healed of leprosy, it was a little girl that made the comment, I wish that he could talk to the prophets and the God I know. Why? Because he would get healed. What prompted her to make that statement that ended up moving 2 kings? Because Naaman's king said, oh, well, let me write you a letter and I'll send you over to this other king. This other king, well, you're trying to pick a fight. No, the prophet said, just send him to me. A little girl not following rules, and I'm not against rules, folks. The rules are there for a purpose. They're not to be just broken. But something in her heart said, oh, God's looking at you. He wants to know you, Naaman. He wants to heal you. And I don't know much, but I sure wish you could meet him. Have you ever thought what a... something put that in that little girl's heart? You know, you think about the old widows. Elijah. The brooks dried up. The ravens not bringing you food. The Lord says that I've got something for you. I've got a widow woman. That widow woman, as we know from the story, did not have an abundance. She was not wealthy, didn't have barns full of stuff her husband had laid up before he passed away. In fact, we read in the story when he got there, she was going out to gather sticks to cook the very last of the food she had so they could sit down and die. And the prophet's like, okay. But before you do that, can you make me a cake? And then make one for your son and yourself. And we know from the story, guess what? She followed the commandment the Lord had given and didn't run out of food until the famine was over. What rule said that you did that? No, that's a commandment. That's where God is looking down and touching people. Little girls, widow woman. It's not just about ministers needing to follow the will of the Lord in their lives. It's everybody. The feeding of the 5,000. The little boy's lunch. What caused his heart to think, this will feed everybody? One thing is, it's the optimism of youth because, you know, as we get older, we become jaded by life's experiences. And even the Bible makes reference that you have to become as little children. Do you know part of the reason is so you can have that open faith a child has? That little boy's like, I think it's plenty for me. Should be able to share it with people. And the Heavenly Father, when the disciples put, well, this little boy's got his lunch. Yeah, he does. That's plenty. The God of heaven agreed. But that little boy's willingness to say, I'll share. There's a commandment, a heart issue there. There's a knowing God, an actual, it's not a case of, I want to do something for the Lord. It's, I feel like he's put it on my heart. I worked with a man that he and I got involved in some Bible studies there at work for a while. And he let us all know he was desiring to be a youth pastor. So we told him we'd pray with him about that. And over the course of the next couple of months, he ended up applying to become a youth pastor at his church. And they gave him a trial run at it and told him no. And he was kind of offended at that. But when he got to talking to us, it became obvious from the stories that he was relating, he was not given the gift of being a youth pastor. The stories showed that he did not have what it took. He wasn't connecting with the youth. He may have felt the desire to be that, but that's not what the Lord was trying to call him to. And we had to talk to him, and you know, sometimes people don't like to feel like that, well, what do you mean? I heard a lady once make a comment that she'd been given a burden to help children, and yet the Lord never let her act on it. And I pondered on that, because I was like, folks, when the Lord has given me a burden, I have no choice but to act on it. Because if you don't, I get to thinking of Jonah. Jonah was given a commandment from the Lord. It wasn't a law, but it was a, hey, I need you to go to Nineveh. I need you to go to Nineveh, and I need you to carry a message there. Jonah decided he didn't want to go. And we found out later it's kind of selfish motives, because he was looking for fire and brimstone, and he knew that if he went and the power of God worked like it generally did, and God's will was completed, which we know God's will is generally completed unless we absolutely balk, they were going to repent. He wasn't going to get his fire and brimstone. And so he decided, I'm not going. Part of me wonders if he said, I'm not going, because that way I can at least see the fire show. You know, I'm not doing it this time. Lord, you need to execute some judgment. Folks, you know we can get that way. To where we're sitting here, we're looking at the rules, and we know people should be following the rules, and we see people not following the rules, and they keep getting leniency and grace, and we get kind of grumpy. Lord, something's wrong. Speeding down the road. Have you ever had somebody pass you doing a ridiculous amount of speed? I'm speaking for myself here, not for y'all. And thought, I sure hope they get a ticket. That'll serve them right. You know, the Lord challenged me on that one time. Not that it's wrong for them to get a ticket for speeding, but he challenged me, why don't you ask for their safety to get where they're going? So that they live another day, so they can get to know me in case they don't. When I think of some of the things that we do, there's a verse in James chapter 4, 17. Says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now this is a serious verse, folks. Let's go back to Jonah for a second. Jonah knew he was supposed to go to Nineveh. He chose not to. As far as we know, he didn't necessarily break any of the old commandment laws. He wasn't eating pork. He wasn't, you know, messing up on the Sabbath. He simply said, I'm not going there. We don't read where he went out partying and a hedonistic lifestyle. Just, I'm not doing it. His one choice to not follow that commandment led to him spending 3 days in a specially prepared fish in the ocean. Now the Lord has mercy. Because he didn't just put him in the ocean and have that fish swallow him and eat him and he's gone. But he did say, I want you to think about this. You're telling the great God of heaven no, and you're supposed to love me. I want you to think about it. I'm going to give you time to think about it. And he did. When I consider our lives, and as we walk through life, as we try to move for the Lord, you know, folks, the commandments might be simple. It might be something as simple as, hey, I want you to talk to your neighbor. About what? I just want you to talk to them. You don't know your neighbor. They don't know you. They have no idea what kind of person you are. I lived in one neighborhood, and it seemed like probably I'd lived there 6 years, I think, before I really got out and started speaking to the neighbors. You know, once I did, though, I had several conversations about God that they started. That would not have been there if I would have been like, well, I'm busy, I got stuff to do, I'm going to go work on this, do that. No. Sometimes you have to say, okay, Lord, I want to know what you have for me. I look over the young people, y'all out there. You know, it is never too late or too early to start saying, Lord, I'll follow your commandments. The young people I mentioned, those are stories in the Bible where they were open. We also have the man on the cross. Hanging there. Lord, I can't do anything for you. I can't do a single good deed that I can think of. I can't go give any tithes. I am up here on the cross just like you are, but there's one thing I can do. I can speak up in your defense. Something stirred in that man's heart as Jesus was being railed on that said, hold on. I know why I'm here. I'm here legitimately. I'm here justly. This man has done nothing wrong. And I feel like it was the Lord's draw that caused him. To me, I just see it as the beauty of the Lord saying, you can't necessarily do anything, but I can ask you to do one. Can you defend me now? Can you stand up for me in your last minutes of life? You hadn't got a whole lot of time. Can you do that for me? And the man did. And the blessed words of our Savior when that man turns to the Lord just says, you know, he was just hoping to be remembered, folks. I've been a bad man. Just remember me. Just remember me. And the Lord of heaven said, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Folks, multiple times in the Bible, it talks about obedience. It's greater than sacrifice. Obedience. Obedience isn't about right or wrong. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Go back to the Garden of Eden. What was wrong with the fruit that God made? Nothing. There was an instruction. Don't eat of it. The first test was simple obedience. Simple obedience to the Lord. Don't worry about right or wrong. Don't worry about if you fully understand how it's all going to work out. Did God ask you to do this? If he did, James 4:17, if you don't do it, to you personally, it's a sin. Folks, sometimes I feel like that we go around and we get the rule book out and we start measuring people up with it and wanting to holler out at people, but we're sitting there with potential disobedience on our record and not even realizing that that's the worst issue you could have. That's where the devil started, just plain old, I'm not going to do it. Or, in that case, I'm going to do it in spite of you asking me not to. And that's my challenge. The Lord wants us to know him. Those verses there where it talked about, he said, you did all these things, but you didn't know me. You looked at the rules and you put things together and you said, people are supposed to preach for God and they're supposed to do this. You know, folks, you could have preaching go out and it have an effect through no purpose of your own. Paul talked about those that would preach to try to make his life worse, preach out of envy. And what did he say? It's the word of God going forth. Just because you took the word and used it with a wrong heart doesn't mean God's word will not return unto him. It says his word will not return unto him void. And to me, folks, I can tell you as a person who gets up here, every time I get up here to preach, it's a fearful thing. Because if I get up and say, thus saith the Lord, and he didn't say it, have you read the scriptures that talks about the penalty for that? I have to make sure, Lord, get me in a close relationship with me so you can put your finger on me to move me or put your finger on me to stop me. Put your finger on me to know when to speak. Put your finger on me to know when not to speak. When I look, talking about that love, as I've studied this, God's not willing that any would perish. He's not willing to have to tell anybody at judgment, I know you tried to live for me, but you and I never made a connection. I never knew you. And when I think about that, you know, the verse talks about he stands at our door and knocks. Will you let me in? You know that that's a gentle commandment. I'm here. I want in. But I'm going to show you respect. Does God have to show any of us respect? Folks, when I think about what God has not done to me, and I know my life more than you all do, I cannot help but sometimes I can't put into words the feeling of inadequacy for what he hasn't done for me that I deserved. And the fact that he said, I love you. And what was it said, I think, earlier in this service? I want to adopt you as a son. Why? Lord, my mind just can't grasp that properly. Do I want it? Yes, I desire it. I desire to be to where he can say, here's a commandment I want for you. I want you to do this. Unreservedly do this. The woman who came in to the gathering where Jesus was at with her alabaster box of ointment. She brought that box in, kneeled down, broke it, starts crying and washing his feet. The other folks was, oh no, you need to stop her. Our Lord was looking at something. There was something that had drawn her. And he spoke to it. Because when he started asking the people, which one of these two people has been forgiven? The one that's been forgiven a lot or the one that's been forgiven a little? Which one loves the most? And they said, well, the one forgiven the most. Exactly. That heart was drawn in here out of love. So I think it says in another place, she was doing it for his burial. You know that means she was drawn according to plan? She was following a commandment she had been given. And we talk about it to this day. Because the Lord looks for those. A cheerful giver? Why would you be a cheerful giver versus an uncheerful giver? I think of me and my little brother growing up. Now, we get along great. We didn't always. We were brothers. There were times we didn't see things the same. Sometimes we would do things and get in trouble. I remember one time I did some stuff, got in trouble, wasn't playing well with Charles. And Mom said I had to give him my favorite toy. You think I was a cheerful giver? No, I wasn't. Should I have been? I probably should have been. Because I was in the wrong. But as we age, as we grow, the Lord wants us to really move into knowing him. Not just knowing the rules, not just knowing the background, not just knowing about him. But he says, I want to know you. I want to know you to the point that if I speak out and say, hey, that person over there on the supermarket looks kind of down. Can you go speak to them? Can you talk to them? Can you cheer them up? You know, folks, sometimes working for the Lord is not about big things. It's about living a life so that when he needs you, he can move you. You're part of the body. If you try to walk and your feet won't go where you tell it to go, how useful is the foot? It's not very useful. And our Lord wants all of us to be part of his body. He wants us to be connected and say, I want to be a help. And no matter what part you're playing, you know, for me to walk, it actually takes my whole body working together. There's balance. If you don't think, try walking around without moving your arms. It feels very awkward. Why? Because it's balance. There's things your arms have to do to help you maintain balance while your feet's doing their part, and your knees and legs and hips and spine even. It all comes together. But if you ever have an accident where those commands aren't followed, you'll notice it changes how well things can be done in the body. The Lord wants us to be working, fully functional members in His body. He wants us to be attentive and quick to react to what He has for us. And if we love Him, we will do His commandments. Y'all pray for me.